Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
They were
matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shoulder high snap, puts the nose down and launches this punt. Hand over end, sail into the near side. Jones kicks the ball. It bounces inside the five, and Cyrus Jones has to cover up, but the Ravens are going to get it. Another huge gaffe by the rookie.
I've seen
it. And there's life for Baltimore as Moore recovers at the New England three.
Get him out, sit him down. We've seen enough of Cyrus Jones. This is the end.
Oh, now boy. Jones is back to our left again, dispatched as a return man with a kick. Sail into the far side of the field. Slater is under it at the one. Left side 10, Matthew to the 15, and Slater is stuffed at the 20. And the ball came out. The ball is loose, and the Ravens say they have it.
Guys having fun yet? I mean, Cyrus Jones gets out front and hits nobody, avoids people.
His kick sailing toward Lewis Field, 1 yard deep in the end zone, and wisely takes it.
There you go, Bronx cheer.
Bronx cheer.
Bronx cheer. With a 6-point lead at home on Monday night.
Flacco takes the snap. Stands in, throws a high lob down the left side, looking for Perryman, who makes the catch at the 30.
Wow. Who's that over?
With Cyrus Jones and Patrick Chung.
Cyrus Jones settles for some reason. He gets smoked. A bad night for Cyrus Jones.
That is the Cyrus Circus back in town. Cyrus Jones.
What's he back for?
Back with
That's
the
question, right? Is it for special
Step right
teams?
Up.
Is it for defense?
Step right up.
See, I think it's for...
Ladies and gentlemen.
I think it's for corner. Is this an indictment on Eric Rowe? Eric Rowe had him a day last week. They sat him down. They brought him back in the game. One play in the second half, and he got turned around on a double move on a 3rd and 12.
And you're right, Jason wasn't McCourty even out the, there who...
Wasn't even in the area code.
Yeah.
And you don't want to. You don't really want to start McCourty in this game. But you want to add some depth out there because Jonathan Jones didn't do you any favors either. So, Rowe, McCourty, and Jonathan Jones. Who are you going to start?
This is a Lions team who's got, they've got some depth at receiver, too.
So, you're going to take Gilmore and put him on Tate.
Is this like a clown circus or is this the one with like the animals? What kind of circus is this? Hong Kong. You know, like.
That's a man that made that noise.
Yeah.
If I took my finger and pushed it in Hardy's belly, what sound would it make?
617-779-0985. A couple of things in the mix today. It includes the Ian O'Connor book, which will soon drop, which is about Bill Belichick. Had over 350 interviews to write the book. Mike Reese asked Bill Belichick this morning about why he didn't participate. And he said, because I had nothing to do with it.
Which it's about his life. He had nothing to do with his life.
Biography of me was coming out this month and you didn't participate. I was curious why.
Because I don't have anything to do with it. Focused right now on Detroit. 2018 football season. I'd like Reese. To try to do a good job on that.
Reese.
Well, if you take the answer literally, though, that's what he's saying. He has nothing to do with his own life, right?
ESPN has some of the, you know, bullet points from the book posted today on their website.
Yep. I think Reese got a text. Please ask a question about Reese. Like, oh, God.
You know, I feel like a lot of this has sort of been reported here and there over the years, and this is maybe just sort of putting it all in one place.
Yeah, and there's probably, you know? Like, I think a lot of times these sorts of books, too, can give you some interesting detail to some things you already know.
During the Patriots-Jets season opener in 2007, after a Patriots staffer had his camera confiscated for illegally filming Jets coaches from the sideline, three law enforcement officers refereed a heated debate in a Giants stadium office over control of the camera
that,
and tape.
Sure.
And I feel like we've heard that somewhere.
There was like that confrontation. Yeah, we've definitely heard about the confrontation.
FBI agent Bob Bukowski and longtime New Jersey state troopers and Meadowlands security officials Jim Cran and Pat Aramini, who had worked undercover to infiltrate the Genovese crime family.
Now they're
listen.
Now they're fighting over.
This is like getting covered. Like you guys busted up a crime family. I want you to go cover a cat in a tree. They brought down the mob. Now they're going to go cover some cat.
We can't
like
get
Channel
a video
7.
Tape of football.
I mean, you want to talk about overkill?
Yeah.
Right.
Channel 7. Cathartic cat stuck in tree.
No, let's not make a federal case out of this. No, literally, the FBI is here trying to argue over the hand signals.
Can bring down the mob, but can't get a videotape.
So it says they had worked undercover and says they listen as Patriot security chief Mark Briggs and two Jets officials made what Cran called cross allegations.
We're using federal terms too.
They were making cross allegations of wrongdoing. Cran said Briggs kept accusing the Meadowlands officers of stealing New England's camera. Which I guess, you know, I can kind of see his case. Like, you don't get to like search me and steal my items. Like, you know, yeah. I get it. I get where they're coming from there, trying to get that thing back. And it says, Bukowski said that of the Patriots in the Spygate tape, they knew what was on it and they wanted it back. They were trying any reason, but there was no way. Like, how do you think that played out? Hey, give us your camera back. What gives you the right to take our camera and our tapes? No,
we'll
no.
Keep your camera.
FBI here. This is now a federal investigation.
If you're one of those feds, how ridiculous do you think these guys fighting over the videotape are?
They had an FBI agent and state troopers were in on this? What? I don't remember that being a detail that was available.
That's a good detail. I remember the confrontation. The stuff about the federal agents being involved is probably new.
Feels like a little much. A little much. And also today, the Gordon trade is it done? Is it not done? Bill Belichick won't talk about it. Bert, can we say you're reporting that Cleveland has no idea what the hell Bill Belichick's talking about?
I mean, I talked to somebody high up in Cleveland who didn't know what was going on.
So that would lead you to believe that he just didn't want to talk about Josh Gordon today at his press conference. Let's go to Mark in Memphis. Oh, we're going to hang up there. That's wow. Gary in Westminster. Gary.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
What's up?
Hey, question, in your opinion, who is the determining voice? Who is the determining voice as far as that made the argument to convince the powers to be to bring Josh in and give the kid a chance? You know, would have been the Coach Belichick, Coach McDaniels, Brady,
Belichick.
Kraft. Let's
Bill. Belichick.
Let's
Bill.
Give this guy a chance.
Belichick.
And because I think that you give the guy the chance, and his rehab really didn't. It starts now. It didn't start. He had no chance in Cleveland. He needed to get out. And I think this is the second, maybe last opportunity he'll have.
Well,
and
hang
I think
on a second,
Coach
because
Belichick.
Hang on a second. Why are you saying he had no chance in Cleveland?
Well, again, I think it's just so negative. I think as far as to go through a rehab that serious, you need a total different atmosphere. And that I think the structure of the Patriots, and I think that's first and foremost.
Yeah, loser environment.
Belichick's not talking about him, is that he wants to find out if he's sober. Where is he mentally? It's more, you know, that where is he as far as
they
not going to put him in the field. He's not going to until he can put in position for him to succeed. And for him, not just be physically ready, not just hamstring, but mentally, where is Josh Gordon? So
I'm not trying to knock down what you're saying. What I am saying is that the Browns put every failsafe around this kid. I mean, and I can tell you, there were points where they thought about cutting the cord, and they didn't want to because they didn't think A, it would be good for him, or B, it would be good for the team if he went somewhere else and made them pay for it. So, I mean, this is. Look, the Browns' win-loss record is what it is. Like, I don't think you can really criticize the amount that the Browns did over the last 6 years to try to make it work for them. I think it's very difficult to criticize
that. You know, yesterday we had some calls saying, what if what he needs is tough love? You know, what if he needs
a
situation where there's
self-esteem issues?
Right. And we actually were brought up in an unrelated conversation, Parcells and pushing buttons and Terry Glenn, he had to learn how to push that guy's buttons because he didn't respond the same way a lot of guys would, right?
Right.
you know, you put him on blast, he shuts it down, and because of self-esteem and things like that. So does that change here? Does he need the environment where if you screw up, you don't get a second chance? Because he got a lot of second chances. He got like 7 or 8 chances in Cleveland. But here, how many chances is he really going to get?
The part of that that like the part of that that's, I think, tough to line up is what you hear is that he doesn't love football. And that's always sort of been a deal breaker here. So I think that's something he's going to have to prove to them, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to have to prove to them because, look, this is his last chance.
That's what Brady said on Monday night. You got to prove that, you know, you're not bigger than the team and you're going to prove that football is important to you and you're going to go out and do your best.
And there's a ton of evidence that football isn't important to him.
Right.
And
it seems like he was already highlighted that, though, you know? It's like, I mean, let's get that out there.
Well, like, what happened last weekend is totally separate. Is totally separate from the other stuff, right? Like going and participating in that shoot late at night at the Browns facility, like late on Friday night at the Browns facility, after everything that you've been through, after only playing 11 games over the last 4 years, and you're finally back on the field and you played 70 snaps 5 days before, like, if football is important to you, you're not screwing around with stuff like that.
Yep. Let's get to a tweet that I wanted to read that I read yesterday from Jason Cole talking about Josh Gordon. And we'll get to more of your calls. 617-779-0985. That's next.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Comparing Randy Moss and Josh Gordon because they're wide receivers is like comparing Christian Bale and Charlie Sheen because they're actors. Okay, Randy Moss and Christian Bale are world-class talents. Okay? Who are difficult. Yes, they're difficult. They're not dysfunctional. Randy Moss is difficult. I work with him. And Christian Bale on a movie set is difficult. But first of all, Randy Moss is better than Josh Gordon, and Christian Bale's a lot better than Charlie Sheen. But Charlie Sheen's dysfunctional. Josh Gordon's completely dysfunctional. I don't get these comparisons at all.
Oh, good for you!
Winning.
Colin Cowherd on the herd. That's him making comparisons again and drawing analogies. This time, an analogy between football players and famous actors.
I'm Batman.
Ones that are difficult, the ones that are dysfunctional. He puts Josh Gordon in the dysfunctional department, which is a step below where Randy Moss is, which is difficult.
It's hard to argue with that, right?
I wouldn't argue with it one bit. I think putting this guy in the Randy Moss category is sort of a slap on, to Randy Moss. Randy Moss did love football.
Yep. Mm.
He loved the game. He may have been a pain in the butt, and he quit at times and shut it down and went from stop to stop and then, you know, revitalized his career. But
for the most part, he was there when the bell rang, he was there.
He liked the sport. He liked football. And I think this is a real question as to whether or not this player, never mind, you know, loving it. Does he like it? Does he like playing football? Jason Cole had a tweet that I read yesterday on the show about Josh Gordon. And he said, when he tweeted this going back to the weekend, that Josh Gordon is a nice guy, and I hope he figures out life, but he doesn't love football and never has. They had to beg him to play at Baylor. Sad waste of amazing talent. I saw Gordon practice in Gainesville one day, showed up late, forgot his shoes, spent 10 minutes worried about the speaker for his music, found the shoes, practiced the entire time in sunglasses. He doesn't care.
That's the reputation.
Doesn't care. Doesn't care. Doesn't care about football. Maybe enjoys the paychecks that come along with being an NFL player, but in terms of passion for competing or playing well or this sport, I don't think it exists. I mean,
again, this is a kid who had 1,600 yards in 14 games in his second year as an NFL player at a position that's it's a hard position to produce at early, despite everything that was going on in his life. Like, that's the sort of talent he has. And if you're that sort of talent coming out of year 2, you know what you got to do? 2 years. 2 years. If you can walk the straight and narrow and keep focused and keep engaged for 2 years, you are going to be impossibly wealthy. You're going to make so much money. You're going to be able to set up your family for generations to come.
He'd already be wealthy.
Yeah.
He'd already be there.
Yep.
That's my point.
If he didn't have all of his issues. He'd already be there.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care about it already, so maybe he's changed his mind and he cares now. We'll see. Doesn't seem like he cared all that much last weekend while he was out doing a promotional shoot.
Yep.
Right? Doesn't seem like it mattered to him then when he covered up an injury and didn't tell the team and then showed up late the following day.
And you would like to say, like, okay, like maybe if a guy falls flat on his ass, that's what he needs, right? Like, and he's out on the street.
If he gets cut here, he will get other chances. If he gets cut by the New England Patriots, he will not be at rock bottom yet. There will be other teams lining up to try and get him.
Probably.
The talent.
I agree with that.
The natural talent, the gifts.
That's what Ninkovich is talking about. Like, we'll bring Gallagher's, so, you know, that's not important, but his talent's so good that it supersedes everything else in the risk.
It'll hurt
so,
him a little bit, but he'll just go to the next stop and someone else will give him a chance.
So I know.
Welcome to football.
There was one team that I talked to that called the Browns on him, and they said, they basically said, like, well, they were told, well, New England's offering a five. If you guys can do a five, we can probably do this. And they were told, the Browns were told flat out no. And then this team came back and said, and then the Browns came back and said, well, maybe we can do it for a six. So that should kind of give you an idea of what the market was. Like, the Browns were bluffing a little bit, and clearly now you see the result of the trade. It wasn't a straight-up five. There's the conditional seven. I mean, it's just there's – the Browns were not having – like, the Browns put him out on the corner, right, by announcing that on Saturday night. That's the reason why they did it. The reason they announced it early that they were going to do it 2 days later is because they wanted to see if they could dictate where he's going to go and get some sort of return. And they put him on the block, and he was on the block for 2 days, and they couldn't do better than a fifth-round pick, and they had to bluff other teams to even get there.
Dan is in Providence today. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. So they want to explain about Josh Gordon and the Bill Belichick contract thing, you know, the dispute.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is like saying, oh, it's not finalized yet. It's not done yet.
I'm going to put you on hold there, Dan. I can't, we can't hear you too well. It sounds like you got bad service. Raffy's in Watertown. Raffy.
Hey, what's up, boys? What's up,
Zoe? Yo, what's up?
Hey, I understand why Bill did it. I like the deal. I can't wait to use them in Madden. I hope Brady enjoys them as I'm going to use them in Madden. Now, my real question for you guys is this, and Bert, maybe you might know. Is Bill not talking about this because can they put Gordon to a drug test during his physical before he comes in? And that was my question.
Good question, Raph.
That's a really good
question. What can they do?
What do you know on that, Bert?
That's a really good question, and he's subject to quite a bit of drug testing as it is. Like, this isn't one of those where – you know, you pass a test in the spring and then you're good for the rest of the year because of the step.
Right.
Because of where
can
he's
the
at.
Team issue a test?
I think they would have to get it cleared with the union first.
I was going
to
say that's not covered.
Yeah, they would have to get that cleared. So I think you could, but they'd have to go to the union and then the player would have to say, yes, I'm agreeing to
it. And
this.
If he did agree to it and he failed, could they void the deal? That's where I don't think that's possible.
I mean, if it's already gone through, that's the thing. It's already gone through.
I mean, my point is, too, he's so far in the system, and he's been suspended for the year twice. I mean, he's got to be on a weekly test.
Yeah. Oh, no, he is.
I mean,
he is. Yeah, he's at that point. I mean,
he's waiting for his next test?
Well, the next step, if he were to fail another test, the next step is banishment, which means, like, he's gone. Like, he's just can't come back into the league.
Until the league decides to reinstate.
And now you can apply for reinstatement. So, like, he's being tested on a very, very regular basis. And the other thing that's important here, too, and I don't know if you guys have talked about this at all, it's more than just weed. Like, I know that there was this perception that he was getting screwed by the league. It's more than just weed. It's not just weed. Like codeine, there's other stuff. It's not just weed.
Scissor. Thank you.
The juice.
Scissor.
The lean? Is that what they call it? The lean, right?
Oh, it's,
what?
Yeah, that's lean. Another one too, right?
Lean, right? Yeah.
The lean. Dan is in Providence. Dan, was that what you were asking about, the drug test?
Yeah.
All right, very good. Thanks for the call, Dan. Well, we got two calls on the same topic, and we've already covered it. Way to be productive. Jeff and Holden. Jeff.
Hey. What's going on, guys?
Hi.
Quick. Might be a crazy question. Is there any chance that Belichick did not pull his trade off somebody else in the organization?
Nope.
Did
no zero.
So why isn't he talking about it?
He doesn't want to.
Really not a character guy.
I think because he doesn't want to. I think it's that simple.
I think he would take a look at him in-house first, out there in the field.
That's fair. That's fair. I think that could certainly be part of it.
Let's get him a two-hour practice, see how he reacts, see how he moves with the group.
Yeah. So
then I'll comment on him. He doesn't want to comment until he doesn't know anything about him.
Yeah, and I think there's an element, too. I mean, let's call it what it is. There's an element of being difficult to be difficult.
Yeah.
Like, just like, whatever. Like, I know what you guys... Like, it's like that. He walks into the media room, and we've all seen this before, but he walks into the media room, sees 25 cameras there, and says to himself, I'm not giving these guys anything.
Right. Jake is in Andover. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So I actually agree with the comparison. I feel like it's a slap in the face to Randy Moss. Kind of comparison to that, because, again, we have such a small data pool. The one thing that makes me concerned is, well, two things. Do I think it's possible that he bounces back from whatever he has? I mean, it's possible. I know there's a story I think I looked up a little while ago. Michael Irvin, who had a really bad coke problem, he had weed problem, and then he became a stud later in his year when he developed out and got older. The other thing, though, that makes me nervous is that Bill is so, you know, just a killer. Who was the guy, I think, 2-3 years ago? Jonas Gray. He looked like he was a superhero running, what, 2 back-to-back games of almost like 200-plus yards?
Mm-hmm.
He missed the meeting because he overslept, and then they cut him, and then he was banished to the back of the depth chart of the Dolphins. So I just think we need a timeline to figure out, you know, can he make this adjustment, which I think because we have, like, the nerdiest team in the NFL, I think it can straighten him out. But we just need to make sure that Bill doesn't cut
Nerds.
Him before Nerds. That happens.
Okay. I just think that, you know, the locker room situation is not going to make a guy love football. Nerds. A locker Nerds. Room, a good locker room, is not going to help someone. I shouldn't say not going to help, but is it going to solve someone's sobriety issues? Like, you can be around great people and still have your own issues.
Right.
You know? I wouldn't put that on the locker room. I wouldn't expect those guys. Would you say if it doesn't work out, our locker room didn't do their job? No, you would never say that.
That locker room has got enough things going on right now with guys trying to, you know, win more games than they lose. 2 games in, they're at 500, and they didn't look great against Jacksonville.
They'll be putting that team down.
They didn't look great against Houston, you know? They got a lot of stuff to work on right now without having to babysit somebody and bring them along and teach them. I mean, they're all.
I mean,
grown.
I just think this
they're
is
all
one,
grown men. Plus, Josh
I mean, Hardy,
Gordon.
This is Hardy. They're throwing Josh Gordon in the ocean, seeing if he can swim.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is.
Plus, he's older than some of the guys that you know. You're expecting to like take him along, show him how we do things.
Ocean's
here.
Dangerous. Just,
it is. I wouldn't throw anybody in the ocean now.
There are more details out at this hour from the Ian O'Connor Belichick book. Thanks to Dan
like
Shaughnessy.
I like this rollout. It's like you know. I must have been embargoed till noon, then this pops out.
There's been more details, and we can give you more of those details on Bill Belichick in this book coming up next. Here are the headlines with Hardy, and he has a report on who will be the halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl this season. That's coming up right now. Stop chewing on the microphone.
I know it's on.
Sports Hub headlines.
Well, when that big red light is on, you're on. That's how you know. Red Sox will have another chance to win the division tonight as they take on the Yankees. Magic number remains 2, any combination of Red Sox wins, Yankees losses. So, David Price on the mound tonight, opposite Luis Severino. In the second of the 3-game set, Sox lost 3-2 last night. Patriots getting ready for the Lions in Detroit on Sunday. Bill Belichick unwilling to discuss the new players. Josh Gordon listed on the website by his jersey. Bill says trade's not finalized. Also, Cyrus Jones reportedly back with the team. Bruins beat the Flames in China 3-1 this morning. They also beat the Capitals in D.C. with another group of players 5-2 last night. And according to Variety magazine, the halftime performer at the Super Bowl will be Maroon 5. Huh? They recently collaborated with Cardi B. Kendrick Lamar, another collaboration with him, could be a guest. Kendrick Lamar. All right. Headlines are brought to you by the Peterson School, training the hardest working people in the trade since 1946. Sign up online at thepetersonschool.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Up. More headlines, 30 minutes.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Spent 24 hours, I need more hours with you. Spent the week.
You think Revs coach Brad Friedel will have anything on Josh Gordon?
I think he'll have more on Maroon 5 than he would Josh
Should
Gordon.
We ask? Maybe we should ask him.
He's in the building.
We should ask him what his favorite music is. Who's your favorite act? Artist? What do you got?
I don't listen to music.
We got to get it. We got to loosen him up a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a pretty serious guy.
Maroon 5 is perfect NFL.
How safe
band.
Is that?
Like,
huh?
Right?
Safe.
Like, so many different.
It's Coldplay.
Like generations, like you get the moms, you get like the soccer moms.
It's Coldplay.
You get the kids, you know, you get everybody in there.
Yeah. I think Coldplay went off so well that let's do it with Maroon 5.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's like Coldplay.
And a little
maybe they ask Coldplay, like, well, who do you
safe?
Guys,
we need
who
a band
that stays close to you.
We need a band that people are less passionate about than Coldplay. Who can we get?
Maroon 5. Perfect.
There's like zero passion for Maroon 5.
But nobody
hates them.
Nobody
hates them.
You don't hate them. You don't love them.
Right. You've heard their songs on the radio. So
they're just sort of there.
Yeah.
They're just sort of there, and we'll listen and watch.
Trying to call home and loving nothing on you.
And then when you get to the end of the halftime show, you basically look at and say,
you screwed it up. You nailed it with Bruno Mars, but everything you did,
they'll remain clothed.
You know what I mean,
right?
No malfunctions. Bruno Mars, you screwed up with the Chili Peppers. Every two steps you take forward, you take two steps back by screwing it up with like Fleeing Company. Yeah. It was awful. They ruined that halftime show. Like Coldplay, safe. Maroon 5, safe. Play the hits though. Don't give me that nude stuff. Play the hits.
Most of the time they do go safe.
Yeah.
On the Super Bowl halftime. You know, Paul McCartney or
Bruce Springsteen.
Springsteen or Petty or, you know, those are all
U2
safe.
U2 is pretty
all
safe.
Safe.
Yeah. U2, another safe.
Yeah.
All right.
You would probably have thought like Timberlake was safe before that happened.
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Even her too. Like,
you would have thought, you would have thought that was pretty safe too.
Right.
Guess not. I don't.
Were you offended by what happened, Bert? The wardrobe malfunction?
I never saw it.
It personally took me a few weeks to come back from that.
What do you mean you never saw it?
Sir? I never saw the boob. I never saw it.
Yeah, to this day, you haven't seen it?
To this date, I have not seen it. I've seen it, and it's fudged out.
You've never seen the actual...
I've never seen it.
Oh.
Hardy's going to
never seen
that.
It. Josh Gordon. I was there live, and you couldn't see it from far away.
Everybody
started freaking out talking about it. Hey. Like, I didn't see it.
Gordon's on the field in Foxborough. He's wearing number 10. In case you wanted to know that.
I love that the league had it.
He's out on the field.
He sold his jerseys
10.
This morning. Hold on. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to look at it. He's never seen it before.
Oh, he's going to look at Janet Jackson's nipple.
It's covered.
Well, it's kind of covered. It's like a starfish.
It's got like a decoration.
Well, I think, Jim, you were saying on the official Periscope, right? Josh Gordon talking to Belichick?
Yeah, Zoe was looking at Janet Jackson, though.
Right.
Right. Right. Dan Shaughnessy, by the way, Brad Friedel will be with us in about 10 minutes. Dan Shaughnessy read the Ian O'Connor book and picked out all his favorite parts, which includes Bill Belichick teaching teammates how to cheat in lacrosse. Of course he leads with that. The netting on a lacrosse stick, how to be able to get it to have a larger pocket and to hold the ball better.
How's that cheating?
But to then hide it when the referees check your stick.
Yeah, that's totally cheating. That's 100% cheating.
Yeah. I'm not doubting it. Look at him.
I do it. Look at me. You'll notice this with the girls because they're not allowed the deeper pocket. So
there's no pocket
on
the girls'
ball
stick
to make her pocket.
But they still
sink
get
more.
Checked by the refs before they
still
start
check.
The game.
Right. But she's not going to. And I tie it up so tight they can't really fudge it.
Well, then
they're not going to
mess with it. I don't know what Zoe's saying.
You'll see when your kids start playing lacrosse.
Neither does he.
The net. Oh, okay. The bottom of the net where you untie it and you tweak it, you tighten it up.
So you.
I double and triple knot it so they. Can't sit there and play. What are they going to get the game going? They don't really. They just push it.
Yeah, I know. They checked a little bit, but there's cheating and there's not cheating.
It's like you got to just cheat enough to where you get by is the point. Tweak it to get by so it's not really cheating. You know, like you don't want like half the ball sticking up or depressed below the edge. When you look at it and turn it sideways and it stick, you want to see the top of the ball just a little bit.
Here's
I love this paragraph from Shaughnessy, though.
I'm going to tell you his personal favorite. He writes, my personal favorite story in the book comes from an anonymous assistant who worked for Belichick when the hoodie coached the Browns from 91 to 95. Belichick likes to test his assistants and can be downright diabolical. In Cleveland, he distributed tapes to every coach and asked them to evaluate a pass rushing prospect named Rodney Spinks from Northern State.
Rodney Spinks.
The staffers did their evaluations over the weekend, and then they met in the draft room with Belichick to go over their reports. From the book, almost everyone in the room had serious concerns about Rodney Spinks. Terry McDonough was about the only evaluator at the table who liked Spinks. McDonough said the kid reminded him of Leon Lett, who would develop into a two-time Pro Bowler. As it turned out, Rodney Spinks was Leon Lett. Belichick had come up with a phantom player from a phantom school to see if his evaluators could rise above their preconceived notions about no-name prospects from no-name conferences.
Wow.
Handed out a tape of Leon Lett and said, scout this guy. And one guy said, I could see him turning into Leon Lett. It was Leon Lett. This is back in 1991. Probably
that's pretty
VHS.
Good.
Yeah, take this home.
That's pretty good.
Rachel McCullough said, you're coming with me, son. Everybody else in here fired.
What's your favorite part of the Shaughnessy story?
My favorite part was like Shaughnessy's own, his own editorializing of this, which was, but we're particularly interested in named sources providing examples of young Bill Belichick bending the rules to gain a competitive advantage, including doctoring a college team's lacrosse stick to gain an advantage while avoiding detection from the officials. Here's the line. It's Spygate, Deflategate 101.
Shaughnessy will be with us tomorrow.
The detail on the lacrosse thing is great, too, by the way. It's awesome. And you can loosen up the strings, and then when the ref comes over, you pull the string quick.
You pull it short and tighten it. Yeah. Put your hand near the top of it and just pull, like, down the back. See, just, look, my stick is good.
Hang on a second.
Hardy, did we just talk about that? Loosen the strings in the back. Pocket.
Once it gets checked by the ref, if it's okay to play, then it's okay you're to play, good. And you're not cheating. But if you monkey with it after it's been checked, then you're cheating.
Yeah.
Do you monkey with it after it's been checked?
No.
Okay, then you're not cheating. Prior.
But you rig it so they can't fix it quickly. It's close.
What's close?
You'll see.
I do see. I coached girls lacrosse. Yeah. I know.
Stop being down the middle.
There's no down the middle. It's cheating. It's not cheating.
Bill's responsibility when he was 23 years old working with the Colts in Baltimore, one of his jobs was sending game film to the week's opposing team. And for some reason, those game films were arriving a day late every week to the opposing teams. And he wasn't doing it under the direction of anybody else. It just happened to be that, the mail every week with these opposing, and the mail just got there a day late. Because Bill was holding back the tapes an extra day. They were supposed to be delivered by Tuesday. And for some reason, all these other teams that the Colts were playing weren't getting their tapes until Wednesday.
So
Bill Belichick.
All these other teams are like pissed off at Ted Marchabrota.
Yes, I'm trying to see who the name was. It was...
So they're all upset about...
Well, okay. So Maureen Kilcullen was the secretary for the Colts. And Kilcullen called him Billy, right? His name was Billy there. And Billy had there's the quote. Billy had the responsibility of sending game film to that week's opposing team. And if the films were supposed to be delivered by Tuesday, sometimes they didn't arrive until Wednesday. Kilcullen was the one that always fielded the angry phone calls, shouting coaches, demanding to know where their game films were. It drove me freaking nuts, she said. Kilcullen would try to get Billy on the phone, but he dodged her calls. So Belichick was nowhere to be found. I don't know.
Just vanished.
With the passage of time, Kilcullen came to wonder if Billy's unwillingness to perform a simple task in a timely fashion had been something else. Maybe there was a reason opposing coaches waited an extra day before they got their hands on those films. Maybe, Kilcullen said, it was inches with Bill. Then he'd push the envelope somewhere else another inch, and then another.
That's awesome. So all these other coaches are all angry with Ted Marchabrota.
And
it's really like 23-year-old
Bill going, I'm going to send them the tape on time. You can wait an extra day. Competitive edge. Blame the mail every single week. All right, Bert, appreciate the time today.
All right, thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
Bert Breer will be with us again this coming week on pregame as we get ready for the game Sunday night against the Lions. Coming up next, we will talk to the head coach of the New England Revolution, Brad Friedel.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, Yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. Let's go to your calls. Brad Friedel may be checking in with us momentarily. We'll see what happens.
Go to Dave.
Dave is in Saugus. Yeah, right. I see you looking at that line.
What do you got, Dave?
Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
I listen to you guys almost every day when I can. I think that you guys have a role in your show. You guys just play it perfectly. But you guys play a huge part in this beautiful wheel we call Boston Sports, rolling and rolling and rolling.
I love you, Dave.
And I pray, honestly, guys, it may not be an always a fun job, but damn it, it's got to be an awesome job. It really does. And I pray that God blesses you guys up physically, financially, mentally, and spiritually. And that's it.
Wow, that might be the nicest call we've ever had, Dave. Thank you.
I was waiting for a punchline. That was really nice.
Well, it was hanging for a while, too. Right. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Wow. Just part of that... Some small cog in that big wheel that turns.
I feel like I got to go do like a random act of kindness today or something.
You know,
sort of keep that going.
You just bought me a soda.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you already did it.
Yep.
Yeah, that doesn't really count.
It counts a little bit.
Yeah. Not a lot, though.
I think it counts. I told Bert take that stupid jacket off. Look how dumb he looks on TV. That helps. That's a kind act. What, you get your picture taken?
What is your are you laughing at us?
Like Jim,
you're laughing
Jim
at something else.
We're previewing from some audio for later in the show.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you got some good townie
this
audio?
This is a story that I cannot wait
what
to get
to. What are the odds these two guys are townies?
We've got to touch on the Red Sox in the
this
1
is our Red
hour.
Sox take, yeah.
Yeah. No. We got to touch on what happened last night, too. I mean, of course.
Let me
of
guess.
Of course the Red Sox are going
sucks.
For the division and the bullpen falls apart and implodes. And I'm trying to, you know what? I'm going to save it. I'm saving my Red
save
Sox
it.
Thoughts.
Save it.
But there's also a Red Sox story that's sort of unrelated to the game last night that...
Yeah.
I hope is as good as I think it's going to be. Mm. Jerry's in New Hampshire on lacrosse cheating.
Hey,
what do you know about
right.
it, Jerry?
Hi, Jerry.
How you doing, guys? What's going on?
Good, nothing much.
So first of all, girls lacrosse is different. They check the sticks before the game starts.
Right.
And the boys lacrosse, they check them in between each quarter, and a coach can request a check at any time.
They already got a deep pocket, though, the boys. It's so unfair what these girls have to go through.
Yeah, you can tie double knots. You can tie one knot in front of
Thank
and
you.
Behind the back of the head,
yep.
and you just pull it tight before you get a check. But boys lacrosse is always about cheating. Face-offs, I mean, there's so many aspects of it that involve cheating. So I don't blame Belichick on
that. Cheating's a bad word. I think
can you have too deep of
for
a pocket? Can you have too deep of a pocket, Jerry,
Yeah.
to where you
lose? You can have too deep of a pocket, yeah. apparently, yes.
Yeah, a little much.
But there are ways around it.
I like that.
All right, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. Hardy over here, Mr. Straight Shooter, right down the line.
No, who said
looking,
that?
Cheating's a bad word. You're just looking for a little edge.
Edge. That's what the Patriots
when
always
When you go
say.
There and you coach
That's
your
like
kid's
on the
team.
Wall. Always look for the edge.
Don't you want to kick the other team's ass?
Ignore the noise. Always look for the edge. And up
go for the throat.
And dependability, always more than ability. Those
you guys
are the
need
three
a shirt.
Things.
Go for the throat.
No, when I was coaching, the one time I coached it last year, in the fall session starting up here again, it's a bunch of brand new kids playing lacrosse for the first time, U-12 girls, and the whole idea was to learn the game and to get out there and try and compete a little bit and learn the rules. Not to here's how you cheat when you're playing brand new sport. Here's how we're going to cheat. No, we didn't do it. Like
it's a little
that.
Different in the suburbs now. You see that? You get them out there. Who did you learn something that old guy was coaching your kids on a soccer team? And he yelled him all the time.
He did yell, but
he threw a hell of a postseason
party. He was great.
Party.
What was his name?
He didn't cheat.
He threw a hell of a party, though, didn't he? Swimming party.
Pool party.
Pick
he
those
did.
Kids up.
Oh, why can't I remember?
You could drop name. Your kids off, but you had to come picking them up after a certain time, right? Handwritten invitation.
Yeah, it was the boss. Post-
yeah, that's being a coach.
You're going to miss that out in the suburbs.
A lot more
you don't get real people like that out in the burbs, Artie.
Oh, yeah, you do. We're real out there.
No, not like this guy. No.
Old school, huh?
You don't get a grizzled vet like this. Out in the burbs, out in the sticks. I don't care if you're within 128 or not. That's the sticks to me. Let's go to David in New Jersey. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. With his contract and up at the end of the year, I was wondering if Eric Rowe could be a guy to keep an eye on as a trade candidate with the addition of Cyrus Jones. And then if Duke Dawson comes back mid-year, you're looking at the team having 8 cornerbacks, and I just can't imagine them keeping that many cornerbacks. And if he's not a trade candidate, what about moving him to safety and kind of filling in for Patrick Chung while he's out with his concussion? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks,
okay, guys. Eric Rowe, put him on the block, yay or nay?
Put him on a block for what? Who wants him? Anybody want to watch
not
the tape last
week? He played last week.
Hey, go watch the tape.
I'm telling you. If he has a good stretch of a few weeks, I'd put him up on the block. He's not going to be here next year. They're not going to re-sign him, right?
God,
Corners get paid. He's not one worth paying.
They're going to pay him.
You don't think he'll get paid?
I don't know.
This league is stupid for corners.
They brought back Cyrus Jones. 2-year deal, $1.81 million. 900 a year.
Yeah, you're going to get rid of Eric Rowe because you're so deep at the position now that Cyrus Jones is back?
No. You'd have to figure out other options. You'd have to, figure out if you're okay with McCourty. You're going to have to wait and see if any of the young corners get healthy, if they're going to be able to come back after being on IR. Something like that.
Mm.
John is in Buffalo. John, what do you got for us today?
What's up, John?
What's up, Solak?
What's up, man?
Couple questions.
I love the Buffalo Chop House, by the way. It's my favorite road restaurant.
Not too bad, not too bad. I'm a big Viking fan, so I don't think I'm a Bills fan.
Who do you think Zoe looks like? Let's get right to it.
What?
What's that?
Who do you think Zoe looks like?
He looks like a blonde-headed Jim Jones.
Nice.
It's not a bad comp.
That guy, he still sings in Vegas,
it's
right?
A terrible comp.
No, I'm not thinking
the guy puts
Jones.
A sock in his pants.
No. Jim Jones, the cult leader, Jonestown.
Oh, hell no.
Kool-Aid.
I look like Jim Jones?
With the sunglasses?
What about Sam Champion?
He had dark hair. You have blonde hair.
What about Sam Champion? Like,
I don't know about that.
We got Hasselhoff, Sam Champion, Ray Liotta.
Oh, my, with the sunglasses.
Maybe a little Ray.
Yes.
Maybe a little Ray. I just, if I was you guys, I wouldn't drink any Kool-Aid from him.
Listen, the comp is, you've got it a little bit off. That is a good one because of the glasses. But who you look like is Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Campbell is younger. Cowboy.
I mean, I've tweeted out some pictures of Glenn Campbell over the years that look just like you. It's scary. There are some scary pictures.
Grandma used to have Glenn Campbell records. I told you that.
Of Glenn Campbell. A young Glenn Campbell looks like Scott Zolak.
Yeah. And a fella could do a lot worse, so you should be proud of that.
Thank you. Yeah. Is Jim Jones a good-looking dude?
He's all right.
I got confused. Boy, wow. I haven't heard that name in a while.
He just took things too far.
I was thinking Tom Jones.
Yeah, not
just
Tom
go,
Jones.
Just drink it.
Jim Jones. Kool-Aid, Jonestown, that Jim Jones. All right. Hardy has headlines, 90 seconds, no commercials. We'll chat with Brad Friedel after this.